Right. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Welcome to today's service, and it's lovely to see everyone. And I pray that today that we would all be blessed, would encounter Christ at a level where we've never encountered him before. His word would have an impact in our lives like never before. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. It's your presence that we crave for. Without you, Lord, we are just but wood of no value. It's your gold that covers us. It's your presence that makes the difference. We pray, O Lord, today that you move in our midst. Lord, it's your word that has been spoken. And the Bible says that the angels, they hearken to the voice of your word. We pray today that even as your word goes out, that we'd all hearken to it in the name of Jesus. That the Spirit of the Lord will breathe on your word. He will create a transformation in our lives. For those of us who are here, those who are watching online, that will be able to see that I encountered the word of God. And I encountered the transformation in it. I encountered eternal life. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. I just want to say thank you to Pastor. Pastor is away on holiday. It's their marriage anniversary. I think 25 years, which is worth it. So Pastor is on the high seas. We pray. We're not sure if Pastor has internet, but we... Yeah, okay, he's watching. Because at some point, we had to ban Pastor to make sure he enjoys his holiday and not to worry about us. But Pastor is watching. Pastor, we say thank you for being our pastor for the past decades. Day in, day out, I know how much of sacrifice. Noah behind the camera also paid part of it, and we just say thank you to the whole family. Thank you so much. Thank you. Today, the theme for this month is, can someone just, getting back my cutting edge. And I want to encourage everyone who has not started joining us for the prayer meetings, on the midday prayer meetings and the prayer meetings at 6 o'clock in the evenings. It's been phenomenal over the past, I think it's almost 2 years now that we've done it. Because people come, and it's not like as if it's pastor that is dropping rev. It's people amongst us that is unfolding the word, unfolding the letters, and bringing out that spirit and transformation every midday and every 6 o'clock. I would encourage you to join us, because some of the things I'll be saying here, for those who have been joining, we already have the expo. Some people have already spoken about it. But the theme is 2 Kings. It's taken from 2 Kings. And I'm going to quickly read. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to stay here for a while. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we start from verse 1 to 7. I'm going to be reading the New Living Translation version today. I would encourage us all to open our Bibles. Okay. So I'm just trying to get this laptop to open. It's just going to take a second. Okay, here we are. One day, the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, "As you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. Let us go down to the Jordan River, where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet." All right, he told them, go ahead. Please come with us, someone suggested. I will, he said. So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees. But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. Oh, sir, he cried. It was a borrowed axe. Where did it fall? The man of God asked. I'm not going to repeat some of the things that he has done, and we'll just continue from where he laid the foundation, and we're just going to build on it. And as usual, Pastor would come back and complete, and every other person that will be involved will complete this. One thing that I want to bring out, which is very critical, is after you have found out that the place where you are is small, and you have asked God if it's okay for you to go. So, for example, Lord, the job I'm doing currently is small. I want to move to a new job. Lord Jesus, the location where I am, let's say in a particular village, maybe you were based in Africa before, or you were based in Aberdeen, you were based in London. And he said, Lord, this place is too small for me. And I want to move to a new place. There are trees at this particular Jordan. So let's say the Jordan is Liverpool. Lord, I perceive that we have so many trees in Liverpool. And I can go to Liverpool and cut some beams and make a place for us there. And the Lord God said, go. And you didn't stop there. You understood the criticality of the presence of God, the essence of God going with you. And then you went back again. So you brought your plan. Lord, I want to move to this new location. Lord, I want to have this new job. Lord, I want to go into this marriage. Lord, I want to start this relationship. And God said, go. And then you took it further and you said, Lord, come with us. Do not let us go. Do not let us go without your presence. Just like Moses was praying. If your presence will not go with us, we don't want to leave this place. Lord, I'm working for myself. I earn salary. I want to go and start a new business where I will be an entrepreneur. If your presence would not go with me, let me not go there. And God said, I will come along with you. And he was there with you. Remember the analogy with Peter when Peter said, Christ, if it be you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. For some of us, we've received the instruction to come. It's a new business. It's a new family. It's going to take a new course, charting a new career for our lives. And God said, go, do it. And then, while you are busy cutting down the trees, making available room, confident that, because the name of Elisha means God, our salvation, confident that the salvation of God is there with you. His presence is there with you. And then you lose your cutting hedge. Or like in the case of Peter, you consider the wind and the storm and you start to sink. And a lot of times, sometimes Christians tend to make a wrong testimony for God where they say, maybe it wasn't God that you heard. A lot of times we'll conclude that maybe I didn't hear God clearly. Maybe I didn't hear God clearly. Maybe I didn't hear God clearly. Did Peter hear God clearly? He stepped out. The remaining 11 stayed in a comfortable place. Peter wanted to do the supernatural. He didn't want to do the natural, and he stepped out. But the one that stepped out and everyone is looking appears to be the one that is sinking. And not only that is sinking, the so-called Christ that he professes, that you have talked about at work, appears to be there with him and it still looks like as if he's sinking. And this is the dire situation here. The ministry of the prophets was growing. Remember Elijah? During the time of Elijah, Elijah thought he was the only prophet that was around. There was a lot of persecution. There was idolatry in Israel at this time. Nobody was serving God. So these were staunch Christians, you could call them, filled with the Spirit, focused on the ministry of God. And the essence of creating room was not for them to create room for their families. They were creating room for the kingdom. They were doing God's business. They wanted to increase the school of prophets. Elijah complained before he left the scene for Elisha that, oh, probably I'm the only one that is still here. And it looks like as if idolatry had covered everywhere. Ahab had taken and Jezebel were in control. And nobody could see God. But these people were consecrated unto God. Poor as they were, they had the presence of God with them. And they were going to do something critical for God. And they had the presence of God with them. But the axe head fell. The axe head fell. They met all the criteria. They did the prayers. They studied the word. They prepared. They did their due diligence. They knew where the wood was. They got axes. They worked as a team. But they still got there, and the axe head still fell. Peter stepped out in faith. He went for this new job. He was a fisherman who normally stays in the boat to fish, but he wanted to do the supernatural. He wanted to walk on water like Christ. He wasn't contented with the 9-to-5. He wanted to step out and do something. And Christ was there. And still, he sank. And he had to cry for help. One thing is, God is always happy for us to expand, to lengthen our stakes, to grow, to take the land. Because the more we grow, the more we take the land, is the kingdom of God that is growing. So God has nothing against that. And if you ask him to come with you as a child of God, his presence is always there with you. I will pause on that particular point and I will go on to the axe itself, the axe. And when I was leading prayers on Thursday, I was trying to explain that all I tried to do was to picture the axe from when I was growing up. In the UK, most likely, a lot of us might not have seen an axe before. I think they still sell it. No, they don't sell it at Bianchi, I don't think. They don't allow people to... Yeah, you need a license to be able to buy things like that because it's a very sharp tool that can become... a weapon in the hands of the untrained hand. But I remember the axe back home. And I had to picture it because the axe head fell into Jordan. There are critical things. So the first one I've laid the foundation for is that the presence of Christ does not really mean that the axe head would not be lost. The presence of Christ does not mean that will not sink. I mean, a story that touches me every time was the fact that God called Moses. God called Moses and God sent him to Egypt. God sent him to Egypt. God explained everything. God gave him a rod to take. And then Moses stepped out to go to Egypt. And the next verse, after he received the instruction to go to Egypt, the next verse said, and the Lord sought to kill him. And then you consider, he received the instruction. He received the go-ahead. And we're going to be looking at the three different areas to see why it is that even in the presence of Christ, we can still lose our cutting edge. Or we can sink. Or Christ can seek to kill us on the way. to obedience. So imagine you took up the ministry. You were going to somewhere that is remote to go and spread the gospel. And then you hear that the person had an accident and then he died on the way. And they'll say, maybe God didn't send him. But God can be there. God can send you. And still, this kind of things can still happen. So we've laid that. But I'm going on to the axe itself. Because God was God told us that he would make us a threshing instrument with sharp teeth. That he wants to make us to become a battle axe for him. So if you look at the makeup of the axe, it has a wood and it has a metal head. And when I was studying this, the wood in itself often can refer to us, our frailties, our weaknesses. Elijah, if you look at when he wanted to rebuild the altar of God, the Bible said he set the stones in place and he set the wood in order. And that talks about us in ourselves. So I'm going to be using an analogy, right? And the wood being us. The wood has a wood component and it has a metal iron head component. And each one of them cannot work on its own. You cannot use your hand to swing the metal head. And if you swing a wood against a tree for as long as you want it, you are not going to cut it down. It's the interaction between the wood and the axe head that tends to cut the logs. And one of the things I remembered growing up was the fact that after you use the axe for a while, it loosens up. Where the metal is in contact with the wood, you have a bit of friction going on. It becomes very smooth, and then it starts to slide out. Another thing that can happen is when you get the wood and you've not oiled it properly, you've not processed it properly, and just cut the wood, you put it in the axe head, after a while it dries, and the fibers expand a bit, they contract, they expand, depending on the temperature where you're using them. And then you start to get things moving in the whole system. The wood is always very light. You can always wield it. It's not heavy. But what is on the head is like a weight. And the analogy that came to me was when we're being taught about the glory of God being like a weight upon us. It's the glory of God that enables us to go and to do the great things that we do for him. To cut the logs. To expand the business. To build a home. To preach the word. To teach the word. It's that weight that is upon us. On our own, we don't have that capability to be able to do it. It's that gift of God. That essence of God, which is not ours. Because if you remember what happened to the sons of the prophet, it was like it was borrowed. It's that weight that enables us to be useful. And a lot of times, what makes an axe to be useful is how tightly bound to that iron axe head that makes it effective. If it is loose, every time you swing, it moves. You can't cut effectively. Every time you swing it, you can't cut it effectively. So it has to be firmly set in the wood. And for anyone who has seen an axe before or handled the axe before, you understand. Because after you start to have a bit of friction and there's space, you now cut pieces of wood to be able to shock it on the edges so that it's firm again. But the funny thing is, once you start to do that, the wood is giving way. Eventually, it will keep coming out. And that's what we tend to do a lot of times, where in our Christian walk, we just want to cut small, small things just to make it temporarily useful so that we can just go along, just manage and cut the wood, spend a lot of energy trying to cut the wood. It's falling down every time, but you just shock it, rather than us looking at ourselves as the wood. The second thing about the axe is, after you use it, if you don't clean it up, rust goes on it. And then the next time you're using it, it gets more difficult to be able to use it, to be able to cut. You use more effort to be able to cut. More effort to be able to cut. And one of the ways with which you preserve the axe is to clean it and to oil it. You oil both the wood and the axe head. This Second Kings is full of so many truths. But I'm going to be focusing on the axe head and how they lost their cutting edge. Mind you, it was only one person that lost the cutting edge. Just one out of the many people. So it's not necessarily that everybody here probably lost their cutting edge. This message might just be for the one or the few who may have lost their cutting edge. Because for some of us, the axe head has not fallen. It's just loose. It's shaky. And the Holy Spirit was talking to me also about that, about my relationship with the Word, my relationship with Him. Because if I claim that my advantage is God, and I spend more time on every other thing that is apart from God, it means that I don't really believe that my advantage is God. I believe that I am my advantage. And that's how we live, typically. Because we make limited time for the feet washing, for the cleansing of our feet, for the cleansing of the axe head. A gift has been given to you. A talent has been given to you. The mina has been given to you. The one that gave it to you is still going to come back and do the accounts. It's like that parable that Christ gave when he gave 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent. And he gave the minas also. He's going to come back and do an account. How did you use the talents? And how did you use the minas? And that's the bit where God is talking to us today. The oiling of the axe head and the wood can represent the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is essential for us to be able to effectively do our work. If you don't oil the axe head, it's not going to be effective. If you don't clean it, and that talks about us understanding the place of the blood and how it cleanses us of our own sins. If you leave death after going out, don't forget, they were not going out to do their own work. They were busy cutting the log and doing ministry work. But along the way, while doing that same ministry work, while setting up that family, while doing that business that God sent you, our feet get dirty. And Christ was telling Peter when he wanted to wash his feet. He said, and Peter was like, let me just have a full bath, after he understood the explanation. And Christ said, he that has had a bath need not have one, but just to wash your feet as you keep going and you gather dust. Because how do we get unbelief? How do we trade the faith that we come in Sunday and Thursday and then we recharge again? How does it turn out to be unbelief again? It's because in the world we'll spend so much of time with unbelievers. They're not giving you faith. And every time you are interacting, you are exchanging virtue. You go to work, you sit down somewhere, and you keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. There was a time when I first started my work here in Liverpool, and I had these very lovely colleagues, and they could say the swear word at like 50 times per second. It was so, and then you would imagine that you're just sitting down there and unconsciously nothing is going on. And the pastor was giving an example where you sit somewhere and they are playing a particular kind of music, and you think that your spirit is not imbibing it. Wait for like a month. Just realize that when a sound wants to come to your head, you are singing that song. And you know when you start singing it and you start miming it. So I got home one day and I was talking and it slipped into my discussion. And Yeti quickly explained to me about how, and I just realized that truly, it seems like as if I've gotten my feet dirty kind of, and I needed to wash it. And one of the things we did then, back in those days, was we did a swear jar. And the swear jar was wisdom from God. Because Dadezi was talking about the fact that I did a swear jar work. So I did a swear jar to raise money for White Chapel. And we raised, I think, either 150 or 250 pounds. And we only did it for a month. And we only did it on the floor. So just a group of people. And it was 50 people, I swear. So you could know that people raised a lot of money. But that cured it because it dropped it by almost 80%. Where they themselves now, because one thing I learned is people value money more than they value to swear. So the person that it was targeted at mostly, that does it the most, he did not pay one dime for a whole month. He did not use the swear word for a month. And afterwards, he cut almost 80% of it out of his vocabulary. I've been there for 7 years. He doesn't just use it anyhow. I think it was a fear of losing his money and getting skinned. But really, we need to clean up after use. That talent, that skill. You know, when Jesus sent out the 12, when they came back, he said, come and let's rest for a while. Come and let us rest for a while. A lot of times we are busy, we are active, but we are losing virtue. Our feet is getting dirty. And Christ is saying, come and rest for a while. A lot of times we are swinging and swinging, not taking time to rest, not taking time to clean, not taking time to oil, to wait for that Spirit of God to give us direction, for the Spirit to lead us. And we are wielding the, cutting the logs. It looks like as if we are effective because obviously the presence of Christ is still there. But that doesn't mean that if you do something that is wrong, if you transgress the law, that the axe head won't fall out. But the beauty of it is, right from the beginning, they took along with them the resurrection and the life. How many times do we run out and think that some of the mundane things that we do, we don't need Christ for them? You just want to quickly get to the shops. You just realize that you don't need Christ. Something happened last week. We just randomly lost hot water in the house. The pressure was not enough to be able to move the hot water. And for like 2 days, we didn't have a hot water. And we're just trying to get someone. And then that's when you now realize that it's difficult to be able to get someone to call out. You have issues with handymen. And after like 2 days, God helped us. And then suddenly we did some things, turned off boiler, did something. And then we got hot water. And I sat down there and I was just thanking God. Like, thank you, Lord, for hot water. You know how many times you don't consider that you need God for some of the things that you think happens to you normally? Mind you, there was plenty of logs by Jordan. They didn't need Elisha. Elisha didn't give them the axe. Elisha was just there. Elisha is a busy man. They didn't need him. And that's how we feel sometimes, where for some things, we often say, we don't need to pray about this. This is something we just need to just step out and do. We don't really need to pray about it. Do you know how many times they've told you that we have prayed enough? Now is the time for action. It's the lie of the devil. You know how many times they've said, we have studied enough. We don't need to pray. We just need to do. It's action now. The devil. Because if Christ is not in that boat, when the storm comes, who is going to be able to help you? And a lot of us, we forget to bring Christ along on our journeys. We don't make provision for Christ on that journey before we start the journey. It is only when we run into difficulty that we start running helter-skelter. But luckily for the sons of the prophets, they had the wisdom of God. Luckily for us, we brought Christ on the journey. I assume, I hope, that journey that you are on currently, which seems like as if there's an issue, you did make room for Christ before you started it. Because if we did not make room for Christ, who are we going to call to help? If we took along an influential person, or we took along where our defense was the amount of money we had, who are you going to call on? When they do a policy that makes you not be able to withdraw that money, who are you going to call on? When that thing fails you. And it's a question I want you to ask yourself. On this journey that I'm on, did I make provision for Christ? And if you did not, it is still time now to ask him to come into the boat. In that area where you're relying on something apart from Christ, is the time to call on Christ for his help. In that place where you've not had time to be able to clean up, you've not had time to rest, you've not had time for the Spirit of God, it is time. Is any one of us starting a new endeavor? Are you setting on something new? The only sure way is for you to have the resurrection and the life in your boat. Because peradventure, something dies along the way. Peradventure, something falls off along the way. Peradventure, fear comes along and the person starts to sink. Is the only one you can call is our ever-present help in the time of need. But the truth is, if you don't call on him, the person will sink. If Peter did not call on Christ, Peter will just sink and Christ will be there. Alas, it was borrowed. Alas, it was borrowed. Everything that we have, even the life that we live, is borrowed from God. Is his breath in us that gives us life? A lot of times we live life like as if we have control over it. Like as if we can run it. It's like as if we have an understanding of what sustains us. Listening to the Arawood always telling us that there's a reason to thank God. And I just recently just started thanking God for some new things, like the hot water. The hot water really caught me because, honestly, where I came from, if you don't have a hot water, you can survive. But if you've been used to hot water and then the cold comes in and you don't have hot water, then you know that you need to thank God for hot water. One of the things that made the Israelites to lose their cutting edge a lot was grumbling, lack of thanksgiving, lack of thanksgiving. They never counted the things, the advantage they had with God. God was following them. Fire at night, cloud during the day. The tabernacle was there. They ate the manna, but there was always grumbling. whenever they encounter a difficulty, always grumbling. Imagine before you got that job, how much of prayer you prayed. Before you had that spouse, how much of asking God you did. Before you had that child, how much of prayer you prayed. And look at how much of grumbling you have in your heart now, even on that gift that God has given you. Alas, it was borrowed. Nothing you have is something that you did on your own. A lot of times we reckon that maybe the job, the position, whatever it is that we have, maybe it's by our own strength. And God always comes sometimes to let us know that it's not by our own strength. Alas, it was borrowed. Alas, it was borrowed. The axe head was borrowed. And without the axe head, we're as ineffective in cutting down trees, because that's the job of the axe, is to cut down. We become ineffective in our roles once we lose that part, that supernatural part, which is from God. Today is a time of reflection, and I want you to just roll back. God is speaking to us at our different levels. And the questions are coming into our hearts. So what is it that you are grumbling about, that you think that it's yours? The master is going to come around at a point, and he's going to request from you. If you look at that story, the parable that Christ gave about the talents and about the mina, there was in one account where he talked about the mina, he said, your mina has made this. That's very essential for us to think about. The guy never said, I made this extra five. It was the mina that made it. It was the axe head that cut the tree, not the log of wood. Even though without that wood holding the axe head cannot cut the tree. But it was that axe head that cut the tree. And brethren, I want to introduce you to an axe head, a sharp cutting tool, which is greater than every other. The Bible talks about the word of God in Hebrews 4:12. Let me just read it out so that we can, if you can just open up to it. It said, for the word of God is alive and powerful, and it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes our inner thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and is the one to whom we are accountable. The son of the prophet was a man of integrity, was accountable. For some of us, when we lose our cutting edge, we hide away. Because it could have hidden away. Because if every other person cut the log of wood, theirs might be sufficient to build a new place. He could become a spectator, but was a man of integrity. He shouted out for help. Alas, he was borrowed. And here he's talking about the fact that we are all accountable to that same word. And the Bible makes us to understand that it is iron that sharpens iron. Which other iron would you want to sharpen your axe head in this season to give you a firm cutting edge apart from the word of the Lord? And the Bible makes us to understand that the word is near thee, in your mouth and in your heart. In Romans 10, how have you used that word? The axe head has gone blunt. Have you come to a place of rest to refresh yourself, to sharpen up yourself again with that word? When he was talking about us putting on the whole armor of God, and he was talking about that sharp tool as the word of God, I realized that a lot of us, we go out, including myself, carrying very blunt tools, wielding a lot of energy, cutting down things, but spending a lot of effort. You know, it looks like as if we are very active. To us, we come down and say, wow, God, we thank you. You have to stay 2 hours to be able to cast out that small evil spirit. You can remember when the disciples were struggling and they couldn't cast it out. And we thought, oh yeah, we've had that spiritual activity. We've called fire down. We have gone on an altar of fire. And Christ is saying, you are just walking with a very blunt tool. And that's why it's taking you a lot of effort. That's why you are wielding a lot of strength to be able to do all of this. Is that word that helps us to sharpen our tools? Because the second thing you need to do, after you have cleaned your tool, after each use, you've taken time to sit and clean it, you've oiled it, the Spirit of the Lord is present with you, you've received the washing by the water, you've renewed your mind, you've done all of that. There's a place where the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Where you go back to the Word of God. While I was here, the Holy Spirit was ministering and just telling me that sometimes I go to the wood to help me to sharpen my iron. I go to people rather than going back to the Word of God to sharpen up my iron. The first person I call when I get into trouble is always a human being rather than God. This son of the prophet did not just call his fellow colleagues and run a commentary to say, my axe head fell. He shouted, alas, master. And how many of us can shout today, alas, master? And point Christ to where you think you lost that axe head, because that's what we're going to be doing this morning. And crying to God. For some of us, before we came into this city, before we took up this latest job, we were so good. We were comfortable. They used to rank us as the best where we came from. And then you took on this new project, and it looks like as if you've gone blunt. For some of us, your last job, you were like the Jack Bauer of that job. And then you took up this new role, and it looks like as if you lacked all the experience in this world. It's almost like as if you are starting from zero again. And everybody's looking at, they are even starting to say is incompetent. And once they start to say that, it means a lot. It means that you are not good at all. And it seems like that in this role. I want us to, this afternoon, because what this person did was he pointed to Elisha where he fell. And for some of us, the axe head has not fallen. It's loose. Let's ask for the help of God this afternoon. For that cleansing. That cleansing by the word. For that Spirit of the Lord, which also has to do with the word. For that sharpening by the word. I want us to bring that situation to God. Peradventure, you didn't ask Christ before you started it. Maybe you forgot you needed Christ. It was a simple situation. I mean, this is something you have a PhD in. You are so certified in it. You have a lot of experience. You just thought, I could do this job. And then you started doing it, and everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. For some of us, we thought, is it not changing location? I could change the location. I could do it. When I was growing up, we used to live in the north. We moved to the west. Then for secondary school, we went to the south. So moving location again should not be a difficult thing. And it looks like as if you've lost your accent. Can you point Christ, the word of God, to that place? For some of us, it's the relationships. Oh, the person is a born-again Christian. There's nothing to really worry about. And you have gotten into it, and it looks like as if you are running against the currents. And mind you, the Jordan River always presents an obstruction. It was the final thing that the Israelites had to cross for them to be able to enter into the Canaan land. That Jordan River, where there's a lot of logs, is always something you need to deal with for you to be able to enter into the next phase of what God wants to do in your life. For Naaman, he had to dip in the Jordan. He had to let go of the pride and dip in that Jordan. If he did not conquer that Jordan, he would have died of leprosy. And it was in that same Jordan that John the Baptist dipped everyone and they received salvation. But that same Jordan is presenting itself and is almost drowning and is almost overwhelming. Can you point Christ? Point Christ to it. Whatever the situation, he's here. He's happy for you to expand and to grow. He's more than happy for you to go with you in every journey of life. Christ is here. And if you cried for help, for the case of Peter, he cried for help and he received help. For the same, this son of the prophet, he let go of his pride. Oh, what would people think if I said it was borrowed? No, he shouted, he cried. It was borrowed. What is it that you are losing or that you have lost? Point Christ to it. For some of us, we don't even know that we have lost it. Call Christ. We think we are still all made up. Lord, we need you. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. We have gone out, we've been cutting wood, but we've never given thanks. We've assumed that it has been by our own power that we've been cutting wood. We have assessed the situation. We've realized that there's a lot of wood at Jordan. And we thought, let me go and get my own. Because he said, let each man go and get his own. But Lord, we encountered problems along the way. Have mercy. We quit our jobs and we set on this new journey. After we received a word from you. But it looks like as if we are drowning. But your word says in Isaiah 43 that when we go through the fire, you'll be with us. It would not burn us. When we go through the waters, it will not overwhelm us. Lord, you are the one that can help. We have tried men. They are the most undependable people in this world. Lord, we have tried money. It does not help. We have tried knowledge. We have tried skill. We have tried to do another course. We've tried a new stuff. But Lord, you alone are the one that can help us. Help. We have tried counseling. We have tried every other thing, Lord. But Lord, we bring you into our own corner. This is where I fell. It was when I took this decision, Lord, I fell. I stepped out for the remaining 11. The remaining 11, they never walked on water. They never did the spirit supernatural. It looks like as if they are contented with the boat, but I stepped out. I stepped out in faith. But Lord, I'm sinking. Help. I'm struggling with this. It's affecting my spiritual walk. Help me. Father Lord, you said that every time we call upon you, that you will hear us. Lord, we call upon you today at our different levels. You know what is taking that confidence away from us? You know what is taking that curtain edge, that ability to excel supernaturally from us? We repent, Lord, of all those things. Just like Moses had to go on and circumcise his son, which was the sin why God wanted to kill him. And Zipporah had to do the circumcision for him to come back alive. Lord, we repent. We ask for your mercy, O Lord. We ask for your mercy. Because we know that even if at the end of the day, when you make our access to float and we grab it again, we still need your grace to be able to continually clean it up, to continually oil it, to continually sharpen it by your word and with the help of your spirit. Help us, O Lord. Make your grace available, O Lord, for us, even in this season. Let there be a testimony, Lord, of a resurrection of those things that have been lost and have died. Those things that seem to have been lost. Because mind you, the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea. For some of us currently is in the Jordan River. You don't want the current to take it into the Dead Sea. But Lord, you are the resurrection and the life. Even if it has gone into the Dead Sea, you can bring alive, Lord, anything. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. You brought him back. Restore back to us, Lord. That which you have lost and even forgotten, that which we have lost and we have refused to even talk about because of shame. Help us in this season.